Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Women in hip-hop are dominating the charts and, in many ways, carrying the genre right now. One of those leading lady MCs is St. Louis's very own Diamond Smith, better known by her stage name, Big Boss Vet. She's the writer and rapper behind hits like Snatched and the certified gold single, Pretty Girls Walk.
All the pretty girls walk like this, 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 this. Pretty girls walk like this, this.
As part of last year's Music at the Intersection opening conference, which provides professional development for creatives in the St. Louis region, St. Louis on the Air producer Maya Norfleet moderated a keynote talk with Vet, who shared about her life in St. Louis, her fast-growing career, and the lessons she's learned along the way. Here's Maya.
So we're going to get into a lot of what you've been through in your life and in your career. We're going to go to the very, very beginning. Where you're like, where you started on social media, which really is kind of a newer thing for audience or for artists. You know, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, you only really got to celebrities, to musicians off of cable TV or when they would come through town on a tour. But you started on social media, rapping your covers on other people's songs. But it don't just take social media. What else were you doing to get your music in front of people?
So when I first started rapping, I went viral back in 2014. All I had was a dream, a phone that was only on through Wi-Fi. I had a PlayStation 2 where I would like play beats in my background. And I popped my little phone up that wasn't on so I could, you know, re-equip myself rapping. And at first, I really did not take it serious. So like, it was like a school night, maybe 7 p.m. And I had posted this cover to Dej Lo, Try Me. And I didn't expect it to do what it did. I woke up the next morning like a normal day. I went to school and I posted a picture. And within like 30 minutes, so my picture got like 1,300 some likes. And I'm like, who didn't hack my page? What's this going on? So I posted a second picture because I'm like, what happened? And it did the same thing. And I'm like, where is this coming from? So as I'm going through my notifications, I'm realizing that the video that I posted the night before is actually viral. Like over 100,000 people have seen that video within 24 hours. And I'm like, oh, snaps. Like, as I look at that video today, I be like, how did y'all like this? You know, I had like some really big braids in my head, some bright pink lipstick, some really big eyelashes. I'm like, all right, you know, you got to start somewhere, right? And the more I did it, the bigger my platform grew. And people was like, you should really start making songs that we can play in the cars. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I just know how to prop this phone up that ain't on. That's it. And that's when someone reached out and was like, hey, I'll just manage you and I'll, like, pay for your studio time, I would pay for your clothes, and so all you gotta do is rap. I said, okay. You know, I'm just thinking like, okay, it's just that easy, right? So I go through with it, and I like create my first song. And I mean, it was like cool, but it did not do what the Ratchet Twerk song did. And Ratchet Twerk song was basically a cover over the Move instrumental. And that was a song that was literally getting me booked. And people in the Carolinas was like paying $700 for me to drive 14 hours to go sing that song. I'm like, oh my God, this is a lot of money. Like, I've never seen $700 just given to me like this. Okay. So we did that for a while. I literally was like going in every club, her like, hey, can I sing my song? Can I sing my song? Some people was nice and some of them was rude, but no matter how many no's that I was getting, I just made sure that I kept on going till I got a yes. I was gonna always get a yes, because I didn't know how I knew it, but I knew it.
And creatives, you know, are sensitive. You putting out your baby, basically, your art. So when you got those no's, like, how did you react, or how do you learn to react to when you do get those no's?
So to be honest, like, I just feel like I already grew up in like a house to where like we was like very, very mean to each other. That is really how I learned how to like Joan and stuff. But I'm like, I don't care. It don't even hurt my feelings. So that's why you bald head. Literally, I just, you know, it's okay. I'm not even mad. I'm just gonna ask someone else. And I just knew like this ain't personal, because I knew that I was gonna be big, right? So whoever chose to sleep on me or be mean to me in that time, I just knew it was going to be a full circle. When you come back to me, I don't care if this was 1996. I remember you telling me no. Why? You're just being mean to me.
Right.
But it's fine. So now when you want to book me, I have to charge you a little extra at that. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Prior to signing with Republic, you were working full time, doing hair, working at Amazon, and eventually you started writing and recording music again. And there's plenty of artists who are working full time somewhere else and then working late hours on the weekends to create music or their art. How did you divide up your time when working those jobs, those 9-to-5s, while also being an artist?
So for a very long time, when I was doing hair and like selling hair and selling clothes, I've developed, you know, a good little stability within it. And whenever I get bored, that is when I get jobs. And they had one time to scream at me, yell at me, or tell me to do something that I ain't want to do. I'm quitting, because I know my worth. Even though I'm not nobody right now, I know I'm be somebody, so I'm just quit. And I quit every job, so can't nobody say they fire me. And if they do, they're lying. I quit first.
Were you able to like stay healthy while you were doing all of that stuff at once, while you were building back your rap career after taking a little break?
No, like I was mentally in a horrible space. Like I quit rap for a major reason, which is why I tell everybody, read everything before you sign it. I was in a very bad headspace, but I just started getting that burst of, I can do it. So I literally linked up with a producer, made a song, teased it the next day, and I think it went kind of viral. And I'm like, y'all been waiting on me or something? And that kind of gave me like, oh, snaps, like, it isn't over. You can actually do it again. You can start over. It ain't too late. So, boom.
And that dark place that you were put in, some people might not know, but you've talked about this in the past, that you were a victim of gun violence in 2016. And that you said that God sent the devil to like really gather you up, basically. So, but it clearly didn't stop you for too long. So what were those actual steps that you had to take to climb out of that pit of darkness?
When I got shot, I knew that I had to isolate, because I was around a lot of things, a lot of people that I knew I had no business being around. That was when I first lost my cousin, Tasia, and they sent me down like a dark path, and I didn't have the type of family that would be like, hey, let's go get you some help. Let's, like, maybe you need to talk to someone that can, like, help you through these feelings, you know? And so I was left to deal with that burden alone. So I literally attached myself to a man that I thought loved me. He was like a wolf in sheep clothing. And literally, like, at first, it was good. And then once my music career started to pick up again, he started to become jealous. He started to ruin bookings that I had, because he would come there and like start fights with me. He wouldn't want me to go. He wouldn't want me to wear certain things. He wouldn't want me to rap about certain things. So that put me in another dark place. Yeah. But the bigger I got with the music, I'm like, I got to get out of this. Like, I can literally see this stopping my career if I don't. And one day I woke up and I was like, I don't want to do this no more. Like I'd rather be alone. I already feel alone with you, so I'd rather be alone without you. And after that, it wasn't nothing that he could do to stop me.
Yeah. You said in some other interviews, too, that getting shot changed your life and changed your perspective on a lot of things. Do you ever look back and think of where you might be if you hadn't gone through such hardships?
Whenever I look back and think, like, what if I didn't go through that, I don't see nothing good coming up out of it. At that time, like, I feared nothing. I didn't care about anything in life. Like, I don't know, like, I didn't see myself being a rapper. I did not see myself being nothing but a crash dummy, which is what I was being in that time, you know? And nothing could stop me. Like, it was multiple family members, like, pleading, like, please, like, stop. Like, you don't have to fight everybody. You ain't got to go off on everybody. You know, you don't have to be this angry person. I'm like, yes, I do. So, don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. That was my energy, you know? And nothing was stopping it. And I feel like the night that I did get shot, you know, I was literally leaving a party. I think my cousin was arguing with her boyfriend. We went there to fight. We went there to fight. And gunshots rang out, and I'm just like, whoa. Like, these are actually bullets. Like, you know, and once it finally dawned on me, like, get down. You know, I got down, got back up. I seen my cousin on the ground. You know, I ran over to him to, like, reach for him. Like, come on, we got to go. And I'm seeing blood fall off of me. And I'm, like, bleeding. And I looked down, and I realized that I was shot. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm shot. Like, and that is when the burning sensation kicked in. Like, it was literally, imagine touching a stove that is hot, and you cannot take your hand off of it. That's the burning sensation that I felt. And they put me on blackout. They sedated me. They would not let my family see me because they didn't know what was going on, who had shot me. Like, it was a lie. And I was just like, wow, like, I'm a woman. Like, I'm a female, and I got shot. Like, this not cute. This not okay. Yeah. Just the thought of me losing my life that God gave me, I'm just like, nah, like, this not where I want to be. This not how I want to live. And that is what taught me right there, like, nah, like, I am wasting talent that was given to me, you know? And I told myself, like, you're not gonna keep doing that. Like, nah, no, let them fight their own battles. Let them do that stuff. Like, that ain't what you was put here for. So I stopped, I cut it all out.
I hate that you had to go through that, but I think I'm not the only one to say, I'm so glad you made it out of that. So let's give her a round of applause for that. That's a lot. And you would have been about how old at that time?
When I got shot, I think I was like 18, 19.
So now you are a leading lady in hip hop. And you are representing us in such a fun, I'm so excited I'm talking to you right now.
I'm so
hard to be professional,
to
y'all. Like, okay. I had to just get that out real quick. Thank you. So you often write a lot about how it's very clear that you do not tolerate men's foolishness.
Mm-hmm. But
I find that interesting because the origins of your stage name, Big Boss Vet, comes from the film Baby Boy.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're not hip to that, it's a 2001 film that's literally about a man baby running away from his responsibilities and being a terrible person. So where does the motivation, is it like all things that happen to you or maybe to your friends, where does the motivation for your music come from that is directed at man babies?
Things that happen to me, like the trauma that I endured with a man baby, like, shout out to him, because I wouldn't have made so many hits if you ain't take me through that.
Your muse.
The man baby, yes. And I just feel like some people be so scared to, like, speak on their situations. I put my situations in my songs. No matter if it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if it happened, I'm going to rap it. I'm also a very great storyteller, too, so.
Yes, you are.
You know, come a little razzle-dazzle, so.
Yeah. As a woman in hip-hop, I feel like this weird scarcity mindset when it comes to, like, being a woman in hip-hop that some audiences and critics tend to try to pit women artists against one another. So what do you do to avoid all of that, but still set yourself apart from your contemporaries?
If it was to become like a situation or anything, I just would never respond. Like, I Beyonce everything. Like, I Beyonce it, because if you was to ask anyone on this planet, why don't you like her? It would never be a reason, because I've never said anything bad to you. Right. Never said anything bad about you. Like, I would just rather not. And I don't know, like, I don't see women as competition, because I'm content with who I am, what I am, what I bring to the table. Like, I'm good. So to see someone as competition shows you a lot about yourself, you know? So, nah, I'm good.
With that odd misogyny, the way that people pit women against each other, the way people just treat women, in my opinion, I think I'm not alone in this one either, that women rappers are really carrying hip hop right now.
Facts.
Facts. Yes. All right. And it's refreshing to see women reclaim their story, their sexuality, their lived experiences, and not just serve as objects in men's art or lives. So as a black woman in a male-dominated industry, you said you stand up for yourself. How do you do that and create the music that you want to create?
I just be me. Like, whenever I walk in any room, I'm me. Like, whenever I'm talking to anybody, I'm me. Like, to know me is to know that I'm really, really cool, but you can't play with me. Especially publicly, like, you know? So just being able to have a voice, a lot of people don't know how to communicate. So when they are playing with you and you can actually communicate, you will, like, stop them in their tracks, because now they don't know what to say.
I think one of the coolest things about celebrities from St. Louis, especially musicians, is how, for the most part, everybody is so down to earth. Like you said, you everybody's favorite cousin.
Everybody's favorite
And
cousin.
I really feel that. Like, I just met her, and we're best friends.
We is.
So what is it or who, if it's what or who, keeps you grounded as a human being outside of the glam and the lights and camera and action?
My family. My family, they in the crowd right now. They in the crowd, but so my family, like, literally, like, they keep me in touch with my inner child, a little bit of my inner ghetto, because they real ghetto. they always listening when I'm ready to vent and go crazy. They treat people kind, like, always. They always here to support me, so I don't have to be alone in these really big rooms, because I was a little nervous, y'all.
No, not you being nervous, excuse me.
You know, I was a little nervous. And they just, like if I'm in a mood and so my head drop and my crown tilt, they always start to pick it back up and make sure that it's straight. So shout out my family.
Yes. Are there really any big differences between Big Boss Vet and Diamond Smith?
Yeah.
What are they? I want to know.
Okay, so Diamond is more so weird. Like Diamond is more of a weird, regular person. Like, literally.
Weird?
Yeah, it's like, so when Diamond gets bored, she likes to lay on the ground and pretend that she's a crumb. Diamond bites people. Like Diamond is really human. Big Boss Vet has to carry herself at such a high standard. It's like, it is very hard to be normal in certain rooms, because it's like, you know, you gotta be the artist, you know? Diamond can just literally take her wig off and watch documentaries all day. Big Boss Vet can.
Oh.
Diamond likes to create TikToks with her dog, just being a crazy person. And Big Boss Vet has to work. You know, like it's very much different. Like, it is two different people, and they play two different roles. Like, Diamond, like, I think she's like, Diamond is a wife, a mom. Like Diamond is all that. But Big Boss Vet is Big Boss Vet. She's a artist. She's a beast. She's resilient. She's overcome everything that was sent to stop her, you know. But both of them would not be here if it was not for God. Cause listen to you something. But yeah.
At this stage of life and career, what are those moments that still, like, just stop you in your tracks? You're like, oh my God, we're doing it. We're doing it. It's getting bigger. It's getting better. It's happening. Like, what are those moments that's like, ooh?
a moment like this. Like, I am literally sitting on stage sharing my story with a lot of beautiful people. I just want to say thank all y'all, you know, for sitting here listening. The BET Awards, going gold, being in Hollywood parties, like, I just be sitting there like, huh, these are real people. Like, oh my God, you know. When I'm able to go in a store and purchase everything that I want, because I remember a time when I had a 1999 Honda Accord and only had $5 for gas and nothing else. And I remember, like, working for Little Caesars, and they used to pay me, like, $175 when I felt like I was working hard. $175? I'm mad for 2 weeks? No. Something is wrong, you know? So it's just, like, just looking back at those times and actually being able to, like, be the one to, like, help my family when they in need. Like, I really wish, like, growing up that I had a meat, but I didn't. So now I became the meat that I needed as a kid. So now it's healing my inner child to be able to do for people what I wanted done for me.
When you look back at that journey that you've taken, that you're still on, is there anything at all that you would do differently?
No.
Why is that?
Hold on. No, wait. No, I wouldn't. You know, I just really feel like that everything that I went through made me stronger. And it actually taught me a lot. And at first, I couldn't read a contract and needed a lawyer to read everything. Now, I can read a contract frontwards, backwards, sideways, dressed, all that. Give me the contract first. I am going to read it. Then I'm going to redline it and then send it to my lawyer. And he's going to redline it more. But yeah, like now, you cannot pour no wool over my eyes because I can see.
What's next, ma'am? What we got going on? What's going on? What can we look forward to?
We can look forward to more music from Big Boss Fed. More content, because I love doing content for y'all. I want to do more panels. This is amazing. I have two movies that I starred in coming out. Ooh. Very excited. Oh, yeah. Y'all, I'm an actor.
Ooh.
So
actor, singer, songwriter.
Come on. Yeah. Also, I feel like that I want to hop into my writing bag. I want to start writing for artists. Okay. So me and my team is setting it up. Oh, we're going to keep the And Another Thing series coming. We're going to get merch made for that.
I'm so glad you brought up the And Another Thing, because I'm going to do something. We're going to do a thing together. Are y'all ready? Have y'all know about the And Another Thing?
Have y'all ever seen my series when I'm like, And Another Thing, and then I talk a lot of stuff behind that? Yep.
So we're going to do that together as a group. All right? 3, 2, 1. And Another Thing.
Never sign a contract without having a lawyer present, and never accept a lawyer that is given to you by the person who wants you to sign the contract. Go and get your own.
And another thing.
No matter how bad you feel, stick with your plan and not your mood. Get up and get it done. Never be afraid to show up as you in a room. You belong there. There is a reason why they booked you to be there. There is a reason why you chose to go there. Be yourself. And never be afraid to network. Talk. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to whoever. Just talk.
Big Boss Fett, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Diamond Smith, a.k.a. Big Boss Vet, in conversation with our producer, Maya Norfleet. They spoke last year at the Music at the Intersection Conference at the Dot Zack Building in Midtown. This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.